welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. Our listener support campaign continues. We're focusing on our Patreon campaign, patreon.greatdetectives.net. And you can help us launch a full-length summer program coming in summer of next year if we hit $600 or more in donations. If we hit $800 or more in monthly pledges, we will actually go ahead and upgrade the server. So be sure, and you can pledge anywhere between $2 and $30 or more. Go to patreon.greatdetectives.net to support the program on an ongoing basis. You can also support us on a one-time basis at support.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Michael Shane. And the title is The Case of Trelawney's Tears.
Before I knew it, my back was against the wall. Jeremiah kept coming slowly. I was watching his hands, and that was my big mistake. Because all of a sudden, he pivoted and swung his peg leg at me. It caught me in the stomach. Down I went. I got to my knees, but this time the peg leg crashed into my jaw. Once, twice, three times. The third time was the charm. I went out.
The New Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Jeff Chandler. Michael Shane, reckless, red-headed Irishman, is back again in his old haunts in New Orleans. This is your director, Bill Russo, inviting you to listen to another transcribed episode, which we call The Case of Trelawney's Tears.
Same old stuff. Never anything new in the papers anymore. Oh, well, it's time for dinner anyway.
Hey. Mikey! Mikey!
Oh, Benny, what's the big idea? Trying to break my office door down?
Mikey, you gotta help me.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm in trouble.
Oh, so you're in trouble, Benny. That's news.
Oh, you don't get it, Mikey. This is big trouble. I tell you, you gotta help me. There'll be something in it for you, too.
Oh, no, not that again.
Huh?
Now, look, Benny, you've been a waterfront drifter for longer than I can remember.
But, Mikey...
So half the time you're getting yourself into scrapes by picking the wrong pocket or listening to the wrong conversation, then you yell for help.
No, this is nothing like that. Honest it is.
The other half of the time you spend making phony pitches to people, namely me.
I tell you, this is on the level, Mikey.
Now, go on. Will you beat it?
Mikey, listen to me. The tiger shark's after me. If you don't help me, I...
The tiger shark? Benny, you better lay off that kind of stuff.
Okay. I'll spill it to you, Mikey. It's Trelawney's tears. That's what it is.
Trelawney's tears? Benny, you take a lot of convincing, but I'll try once more. One, I don't care who your girlfriend is or why she's crying. Two...
No, Trelawney's not my girlfriend.
Two, if you don't get out, I'll throw you out.
I tell you, you gotta help me, Mikey. So I did try to con you once or twice, but I'm leveling now, honestly.
Get your hands off of me. Come on, get them off.
Okay. Okay, Mike.
Now go on, get out.
But Mikey...
Get out!
Okay. Anyway, just coming to see you here has helped me.
Huh?
Yeah, maybe the tiger shark will lay off for a little while now.
Well, don't start that again.
I'll come back when the heat's off, Mike. Maybe in an hour or two, then we can do business.
Benny, I'm through talking. I'm going to come around this desk and...
Okay, Mike. Okay. But you'll see, Mike. Be careful what you throw away, huh?
What?
So long, Mikey.
Be careful what I throw away. Trelawney's tears, tiger shark. That boy better get himself on the wagon and stay there.
Mike!
What? Benny! Benny, what? Benny.
Mikey, the tiger shark. Tiger shark.
Hey, Benny. Benny!
Dead.
In a moment, we'll return to the new adventures of Michael Shane and the case of Trelawney's Tears.
Well, it isn't every evening that a seamy waterfront character comes to my office with a wild story about Trelawney's Tears and tiger sharks and then leaves and promptly gets shot. When I sent for the police and told them Benny's story, they couldn't make any more sense out of it than I did. After they left, I sat in my office, fishing the last cigarette out of the pack on my desk while I tried to fit the whole thing together. But none of the pieces were the right shape, so I gave up and started out to get some more cigarettes. Then half a block down the street, a little gent with a face like a chipmunk fell into step.
Good evening, Mr. Shane.
Who are you?
It's a dark night, Mr. Shane. I'm afraid of the dark, so I thought I'd walk with you a little. You mind?
Yeah, look, Chuckles.
Not Chuckles, Mr. Shane. Alex. My name is Alex.
Okay, Chuckles, now beat it.
And Mr. Shane, you have something which I wish. Please give it to me.
What are you talking about?
Oh, you know what I'm talking about, Mr. Shane. Oh, yes, indeed.
Look, I'm in no mood for riddles. Shove off.
Mr. Shane, I do not think you like me, Mr. Shane. Nobody likes me, I guess.
I can understand that without much trouble.
But I do have one friend, Mr. Shane.
Congratulations.
Yes. He is right here with me. My knife!
And all of a sudden, the knife was headed for my ribs. I brought my elbow down hard, and it hit his wrist just in time. The knife cut through my coat, and the flat of the blade slid across my back. It was cold. Alex jerked his hand back for another try, but he never made it, because right then my fist landed between those chipmunk cheeks. His knife flew into the street, and Alex bounced off the wall behind him. He shivered a little and started to sag, but as I started toward him, he suddenly darted into an alley and disappeared. So I headed back for my office. I was one bewildered guy. All of a sudden, life was full of surprises. Like the one that was waiting for me in my office. This surprise had black hair, green eyes, and a very red mouth.
Hello, Michael.
Well, hello, who are you?
Margot.
Yeah, you know, you're the best news I've had all evening.
Thanks, I hope you'll turn out to be good news for me, Michael.
Look, would you mind telling me why I'm so popular all of a sudden?
You're very good-looking.
Thanks, but I'm pretty sure my manly beauty isn't what brought you around.
Michael, did a man named Benny come to see you?
Yeah, why?
What did he want? What did he say to you?
Well, he... Wait a minute. How come you're so interested in Benny, Margot? Where do you fit into this deal?
Benny stole something that belonged to me, Michael.
Well, what was it?
I don't know.
Huh?
But I think you have it now.
I have it? Well, now look, I've had nothing but double talk thrown at me all evening, and I'm sick of it.
But really, I don't know what it was this man Benny stole from me, Michael. It was a small package, I think.
You think?
Yes. Michael, do you have any idea at all where Benny went after he left here?
Yeah, I got a very good idea. He went to the morgue.
You mean he's dead?
Very.
But how?
Murdered. I don't know who killed him, and I don't know why.
No, maybe I'll never know what it was he stole from me.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I still don't get what you mean by that.
I'll tell you all I know, Michael. It isn't much.
Okay. Hey, look, you got a cigarette?
Uh-huh. Here.
Thanks. Started out to get some a while ago, but I never quite made it.
Here's a light.
Thanks.
What?
Never seen eyes quite that green in all my life.
You're an authority on the subject, Michael.
Well, at times, namely now, I'd like to be.
Oh?
The story you were going to tell me.
Oh, yes. Well, my father spent his last few years traveling, Michael. Right up until he passed away last month in India.
Oh?
Just before he died, he wrote and told me he was sending something very valuable to me. A man was coming from India with him.
You mean somebody came all the way from India to bring it to you?
Yes, but I was late meeting the boat, and when I reached this messenger, he told me he'd been attacked and robbed.
Well, didn't he tell you what was in the package?
Well, he didn't know the package had been sealed. But some men at the waterfront told me the man who attacked the messenger was this man, Benny. One of them said Benny was coming to your office, so I looked up your address. Here I am. Michael.
Yeah?
You said Benny didn't give you anything. You weren't lying to me, were you?
No, I wasn't lying, Margot. Look, in the morning, I'll nose around a little down at the waterfront. I can't guarantee anything, but maybe I'll find some crony of Benny's who can throw a little light on the subject.
I hope so. You know something, Michael?
Yeah?
I'm sort of glad I met you, even if it was this way.
You know something, Michael? I'm sort of glad, too.
Maybe, Michael. We'll see.
I sat at my desk for maybe 5 minutes after Margot left, trying again to remember if Benny had said anything that might make sense. All I could come up with was Talani's tears and tiger shark, neither of which did. So I gave up for the night and walked out of my office. Just as I closed the door behind me, I stopped. Coming slowly down the hall toward me was one of the biggest guys I'd ever seen. On his head was a wool stocking cap. He had a peg leg, and his voice was like an overworked foghorn.
Well, good evening, Mr. Shane. Good evening. My name is Jeremiah.
Oh, no, not again.
What's that, Mr. Shane?
Look, don't tell me I've got something you want.
I don't know about that, Mr. Shane. Come along, let's get underway.
Huh?
The skipper wants to have a little chat with you.
Oh? Just who is the skipper?
Mr. Sick is his name.
Mr. Sick?
That's right, Mr. Shane. Oh, he's not really a skipper. That's just a nautical figure of speech.
Yeah, I know. I was once a Sea Scout. Now, just what does this guy Sick have on his mind?
Mr. Shane, all I'm to do is navigate you to Mr. Sick. It's up to him to tell you what he has on his mind.
Oh? Well, look, Jeremiah, supposing I decide I don't want to have a chat with Mr. Sick, what then?
Well, Mr. Shane, with this belaying pin I've got in my hand, I think I could stove in your skull like an eggshell. Then I could trice you up like a furled mainsail and lug you there under my arm.
Yeah. Yeah, you probably could and would. Okay, Moby Dick. Let's go. My king-size escort and I went down to the waterfront and out on one of the piers to a sleek-looking 60-foot cruiser tied up there. We went aboard and down the ladder to a very luxurious cabin. And there was Mr. Sick, who was without a doubt the flabbiest-looking gent I'd seen in a long time.
Good work, Jeremiah. Good work. Good evening, Mr. Shane.
Hello, Mr. Sick. Would anybody mind telling me what this is all about?
Not at all, sir. Not at all. It's very simple. You have something which I desire.
You know something? This is only the third time tonight I've heard that little refrain. It's getting sort of monotonous.
The difference is, Mr. Shane, that I intend to be much more persuasive than anyone else.
Oh, now, look, before you toss any polite threats this way, maybe you better tell me just what it is I've got that you want.
Obviously, the tears of Trelawney.
The what?
Mr. Shane, I seldom repeat myself. I will make an exception in your case. It is the tears of Trelawney which I desire and will have.
Maybe Benny was making more sense than I thought.
Sir?
Oh, Skipper. Look, just what are the tears of Talani?
Your pretended ignorance amuses me, Mr. Shane. So I'll indulge it. Tears of Talani, as you know, are 6 matched and priceless rubies.
Huh?
Talani was an ancient Indian goddess. Rubies were kept in a shrine and guarded by a native priest. That is, until they were stolen.
Oh, I see. Now just where do you come in, Mr. Sick?
Let us simply say that I'm a collector, my dear sir.
Huh?
A determined collector. When there is the air of forbidden fruit involved, my determination knows no bounds.
What do you mean, forbidden fruit?
Well, legend has it there is a curse on the rubies. The priest who was killed while guarding them told his attackers they would not profit by their sacrilegious theft. It is told he even smiled as he was being killed.
Sounds like a pleasant pastime, robbing shrines.
The initial theft of Talani's tears does not interest me, Mr. Shane. What does interest me is that I have good cause to believe you now have them.
You're just bubbling over with answers, Mr. Sick. Maybe you can give me one about a tiger shark.
An erroneous legend, my dear fellow. Tiger shark is supposed to be a mysterious killer and jewel thief from the Middle East. No truth to the story.
Oh?
Enough of this question and answer game. Rubies, please.
Look, this may come as a shock, but I don't have them.
Mr. Shane, to refer to my previous dissertation on the art of persuasion...
I still don't have them, Mr. Sick.
I do not intend to waste time, sir. The rubies at once.
Look, I can't give them to you if I don't have them.
Must I ask my friend Jeremiah here...
For the last time, I tell you I don't.
Very well. Jeremiah, you may proceed at will.
The big guy started for me. I edged away. I was trying to locate the door out of the corner of my eye. But before I knew it, my back was against the wall. Jeremiah kept coming slowly. I was watching his hands, and that was my big mistake. Because all of a sudden, he pivoted and swung his peg leg at me. It caught me in the stomach, and I went down. I got to my knees, but this time the peg leg crashed into my jaw. Once, twice, three times. The third time was the charm. I went out.
In a moment, we'll return to the new adventures of Michael Shane and the case of Trelawney's Tears.
It all started when a waterfront drifter named Benny charged into my office, mumbled something about Trelawney's Tears and the tiger shark, charged out, and promptly got himself killed. Well, shortly afterward, a number of people started telling me I had something they wanted. The last of these characters was a Mr. Sick, who told me I had the Tears of Trelawney, which were 6 rubies, and that he wanted them. When I told him I didn't have them, he sent his boy Jeremiah after me. Jeremiah's peg leg was harder than my jaw, and I went out. Then after a while, I could hear water lapping against a pier. There I was, lying on hard planks, all except my head, which was held by 2 soft, cool hands.
Poor Michael.
Margo.
Uh-huh.
What are you doing here?
I'm afraid I wasn't sure you were telling me the truth earlier, Michael. So when you left your office with a big sailor and came down here, I followed you. Do you want to get up?
No, I don't ever want to get up. I just want to lie here.
Yes, sweet.
You know, that makes my head feel a lot better. You're the best doctor I've ever had. You got a cigarette?
Still out of them.
Still out of them.
Michael. Get out of it. I don't want you to get hurt anymore.
Well, believe me, it's mutual, Margot. How can I get out of something I've never been in? Incidentally, ever hear of the Tears of Trelawney?
Tears of Trelawney? What's that?
6 rubies stolen from a temple in India.
Rubies? I don't understand.
Now look, that package which your father sent you from India just before he died.
Michael, you think the rubies were in that package?
Yeah, I don't know yet. You know, Margo, you told me to get out of this deal. Now I'm telling you, you better do the same. None of it smells good.
I'm going to get out of it, Michael. If it's those stolen rubies that were in that package, I don't want any part of them.
Well, that's good to hear.
Michael, please, don't get mixed up in any more of it. Please.
You're so convincing. Okay, baby, I'll tell you what. As of tomorrow morning, we'll both of us forget the whole deal, huh?
That's a promise.
That's a promise. After all, there are a lot pleasanter things you and I could concentrate on, aren't there? Well, as far as I was concerned, that was it. I was through. I went on home. Just as I got there and started down the hall to my room, my landlady's door opened. She came out with a couple of milk bottles in her hand.
Why, Mr. Shane, what in the world's happened to you?
Huh?
Your coat. There's a button missing and a tear in it. And your face, will you just look at that lump on the side of your jaw?
Yeah, Mrs. Wilkins. Just put it down that I've had a bad night.
Honestly, Mr. Shane, why don't you find something else to do for a living? Something safe.
You know, I think you got something there. Hey, look, would you mind sending this coat out to be fixed first thing in the morning? I'm going to sleep late.
Sure, just leave it with me.
Okay, thanks. Here, I'll empty the pockets. Fountain pen, wallet, couple of bills. That's funny.
What is?
This cigarette package.
I don't see nothing funny about a package with 2 cigarettes in it, Mr. Shane. Yeah,
but all evening I was sure I was out of cigarettes. I remember I had a pack on my desk, and I smoked the last one right after Benny got killed.
Benny killed? Mr. Shane, what are you talking about?
I'm sure I only had that one pack when I got to the office today. Anyway, these aren't my brand. Wait a minute.
Mr. Shane, what is it?
Oh, never mind, Mrs. Wilkins. I'll see you later. It had hit me all of a sudden. Benny had grabbed my arm while he was in my office. He'd slipped the cigarette package in my pocket then. And he told me to be careful what I threw away. Yeah, it all made sense now. In my room, I tore the cigarette package apart, and there it was, tucked behind the foil, a little piece of tissue paper. The diagram of a deserted warehouse down on one of the piers, and an X in one corner of the warehouse. I had a very strong hunch about what I'd find at the X. I let myself into the warehouse a little after midnight. It was dark inside. I went to the corner marked by the X on the diagram. There was a little pile of rubbish there. I poked around, then I pulled out a small leather case. I opened it and held it up to the window. There were six flashes of red. Here are the tears of Talani. I stood there a minute thinking of a native temple and a priest who'd put a curse on the rubies and died with a smile on his lips. Then I quit thinking about anything because I heard a sound. Somebody was opening the warehouse door.
Mr. Shane. You're in here somewhere, aren't you, Mr. Shane? I'll find you, Mr. Shane.
Yeah, it was Alex, the giggling knife thrower. He was silhouetted against the open doorway for a second, and then he started slowly across the warehouse toward me. I began circling around to my left. My idea was to try and get past him to the door, and then I stumbled into a crate. A knife plunked into the wood an inch from my ear. Well, at least my boy had lost his sting. I straightened up, and it almost cost me my life. And then I realized Alex probably had a year's supply of cutlery with him. So I started circling again, and this time I didn't make any noise. Finally, I got to the open door and eased outside. But as soon as I hit the pier, something very familiar came flying through the air at me. It was Jeremiah's peg leg. Oh!
Well, now, Mr. Shane, you shouldn't be trying to leave in such a hurry. There! Oh! This hammerlock ought to keep you nice and peaceful, Mr. Shane. If you move, your arm will snap like a masthead in a hurricane.
Jeremiah, you...
Don't try to talk just yet, Mr. Shane. Just get your wind back. Getting hit in the stomach's kind of hard on a man.
Yeah, you're so right.
Jeremiah.
Mr. Shane is with me, Alex.
Good. Oh, yeah. I was afraid.
He outmaneuvered you, Alex.
You will please not tell Mr. Sick that, Jeremiah.
So, you and Alex are on the same team. Hey, Jeremiah.
Shipmates, Mr. Shane. Shipmates. Come on, time to shove off.
To see Mr. Sick again, of course.
Of course.
And with that small package that's sticking out of your pocket, Mr. Shane, I can tell you'll be a very welcome visitor. Come along.
Oh, I came along. I didn't exactly have much choice. But much to my surprise, we didn't go to Mr. Sick's boat, but to an apartment a few blocks away from the waterfront. Mr. Sick was waiting for us there with a broad, yellow-toothed grin splitting his purple lips.
And now, Mr. Shane, kindly hand me that leather case.
Okay.
At last... You'll be happy to know you've saved Jeremiah's life, Mr. Shane.
What do you mean?
It was Jeremiah's blunder which lost us the map to your friend Benny.
I don't get it.
We've been on the trail of these rubies for some time. Jeremiah finally persuaded the original thief to give him a map showing him where the rubies were hidden. Then he was careless enough to lose it to Benny before we'd even gotten a look at it.
I see.
I do not tolerate blunders. If Jeremiah had cost us the rubies, he'd have paid with his life.
Well, you tell him I'm very happy for him, Mr. Sick.
Oh, but I do not intend to see him again, Mr. Shane. Or Alex, for that matter.
Oh, you're quite the cagey kid, aren't you?
A quaint way of putting it, but fairly accurate.
So this jewel thief and killer called the Tiger Shark is just a legend, huh?
Oh, I could see you were not convinced earlier this evening when I told you there was no such person.
Yeah. Well, you don't mind me asking one more question.
Not at all.
What happens to me?
Mr. Shane, within the minute you will discover that any encounter with a tiger shark is inevitably fatal.
In a moment, we'll be back with the thrilling climax to tonight's Michael Shane adventure.
Well, there I was in Sick's apartment. I'd handed over the rubies, and according to him, I was about to hand over something else, namely my life.
Mr. Shane, time is a fleeting thing. Right now, it is a luxury which you can no longer afford. Therefore...
Drop the gun, what? Mr. Sick.
Margot!
Drop it!
Baby, am I glad to see you.
Margot, my dear, I'm glad you got here.
I bet you're glad, Sick.
Hey, wait a minute.
I told you to keep out of this, Michael. I was beginning to like you.
Yeah.
Margot, we have the rubies now.
No, Sick. I heard enough to realize you were going to double-cross me and keep them for yourself.
Why, you've got it all wrong, my dear. I wouldn't think of double-crossing you. I was just amusing myself at Mr. Shane's expense.
Then amuse yourself with this.
Oh, no, Margot, no. Margot!
Don't move, Michael.
So all along you were running the show, Margot.
That's right, Michael.
Sure, I should have figured it. And I guess I forgot there are female sharks, too.
Yes, and the pity is you never see a shark's teeth until it's too late. Now I have them at last. I spent a year following this little leather case around the world, Michael. And now they're mine. The rubies, Talani's teeth. Yeah, there they are. They're... What?
What's the matter?
Oh, no. No.
What?
Well, they're paste. Paste! Paste! They're worthless!
She stood there with that beautiful red mouth hanging open. Her eyes riveted on the imitation rubies. The guard was down. I dove for the gun and wrenched it away. She didn't even struggle. She just sort of sagged slowly to the floor. I called the police, and they were happy to take over from there. Well, that's about it. It's been over for some time now, but I can't seem to forget it. Because it's made me think about a lot of things. About a native priest... How he protected his temple's treasures by substituting imitations. How he smiled as he told Achille you can't profit by stealing from a temple. About the real tears of Talani, still safe in that temple. And about Margot and her outfit lying, stealing, and killing to get their hands on 6 globs of red paste. Yeah, I've been thinking about all of that. Because, you know, it's occurred to me that there just might be a lesson in it somewhere.
This is your director, Bill Russo, again. Our story is based on characters created by Brett Halliday and written by Bob Wright. The music is composed and conducted by John Duffy, and Michael Shane is portrayed by Jeff Chandler. The New Adventures of Michael Shane is a Don W. Sharp production, transcribed in Hollywood and distributed exclusively by the Broadcasters Guild.
This is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site. We stream live OTR Westerns 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, along with putting out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at OTRWesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old-Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. Well, a very good guest shot by Raymond Burr. Kind of hard to describe his role. It felt kind of a little bit Orson Welles-ish, but also a little bit like the Fat Man. So it was a little bit like Raymond Burr playing Sidney Greenstreet trying to be the Fat Man. An interesting performance. And I love the pirate with the very useful leg, too. That was a nice touch. Well, we do turn to listener comments and feedback. And comment from Joel on Michael Shane. And he writes in, and Joel says, Shane is the least heroic of any of the noir radio series. He's always getting shot, clubbed, and knocked unconscious. He rarely solves the mystery, but sort of stumbles his way to a solution. His character is overacted by Chandler. And he goes on to say, I'm looking forward to Not Beat. Loving the lineup, Johnny Dollar and Richard Diamond. Thanks, Adam, for all you do. Well, thanks so much, Joel. I have to admit that most of the time when I get to the end of Michael Shane, I'm pretty happy, but it's rarely because of Shane. It's because of things like Raymond Burr's appearance, Jack Webb doing Inspector Lefevre, or some of the villains' performances. I don't think I've left a show where I've been ecstatic about Chandler one way or another. But there are a lot of great elements in these stories anyway. Now we turn to Twitter, where Hedvig praises episode 1965, The Case of the High Price Twins, as good night listening. And then we also have Chad, who comments, flew 6 hours overnight. A lot of radio detectives got listened to, mentioning Johnny Dollar, Mike Shane, and Richard Diamond. Well, thanks so much for tweeting in and for the comments. That'll actually do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for the lineup. And then next Monday, be sure to listen for another episode of Michael Shane. Remember, our listener support campaign continues. You can support the show on a one-time basis, support.greatdetectives.net. You can also support the show on a regular recurring basis with a pledge for as little as $2 a month at patreon.greatdetectives.net. In the meantime, from Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.